Please be taking your Bibles, as Dad mentioned, and turning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And perhaps as you're turning there, I just wanted to share something that I was challenged with this week. I was talking with my Nana on the phone during the week, and she recalled how during the war times, as she was working in the city, as people had their lunch breaks, the churches would be filled to capacity with people who were meeting together, praying and worshipping God during their work breaks. That was a challenge to me, because I don't know about you, but as I consider in my own life, as I've dealt with the challenges we've faced, that hasn't been my reaction all the time. We tend to be professional complainers and whingers with the circumstances around us. Have we turned to God in prayer during this time? Have our churches turned to God and pointed others to God during this time? Well, that's perhaps something to think about, and it ties in a little bit with the passage that we're reading now. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Amen. We look forward to the word that Jan has to bring from that passage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Praise the Lord for this opportunity that we can be gathered this Sunday morning, and we can open the Word of God, and we can fellowship, and we can just enjoy the meat and the milk of the Word. Praise God that He has given us His Word to be our guide in our lives today. And I thank you, dearly beloved, for continually praying for us. Sue and I are very excited to be with you all, to serve the Lord with you, and to reach out to those who are lost in that area of Australia. And yes, we have little bumps here and there these past weeks and months, but oh, the Lord showed Himself faithful. The Lord showed His power and His grace. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to start by giving a testimony through a song, a testimony that our Redeemer is faithful and true. As I look back these past years that I've been serving here in Cebu City and even way back in Iloilo City, this message of the song truly radiates in my heart. And I'm sure every one of us can relate as well. Never had God failed us, and He will never will. And that's why this morning, let's praise Him, let's thank Him, let's worship Him. We have a Redeemer who is faithful and true.
As I look back on this road I traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. I am preparing a place for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. Every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. Faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Beloved, join me in prayer as we commit this time of study the Word of God. Father, thank You indeed that You have been faithful. You never fail us. You're true to Your promises. And You lead us each step along the way. Thank You, Lord, because You're good, You're merciful, and You love us so much that You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And today, O Lord, as we gather, as we listen to Your Word, I pray that His name will be glorified. And that at the end of this time together, Lord, we will be challenged to become more faithful to Him. We pray for wisdom now. The Spirit works in our midst. Change us, O Lord. Mold us into the church that You want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dearly beloved in the Lord, please open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. That will be the focus of our study this morning with the title, Bridging the Gap, Crossing the Border. Bridging the Gap, Crossing the Border. You know, I love bridges. Every time I go to places and there are really famous bridges in those places, I will make it a point that I should not miss going to that bridge. Like, for example, when I was in the States a few years ago and we happened to visit San Francisco, of course, I cannot go and not visit the Golden Gate Bridge. And so we went. It was so magnificent. It was so beautiful. It was spectacular. And the sheer size of the bridge really was amazing. And as I look at the history of it and how they built it, I was even more amazed. But I'm looking forward to being actually in Australia and seeing the bridge there at the harbor. It's a famous bridge as well. I hope I get to see it someday soon. But what is a bridge? A bridge is a structure built to span physical obstacles without closing the way underneath. Just a body of water, valley, or road for the purpose of providing passage over the obstacle. There are many different designs that each serve a particular purpose, and apply to different situations. That's the definition according to one website I visited. So this morning, I'd like to take this idea of building bridges, not physical bridges, not literal bridges, but I believe as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must build bridges, if you may, so that we can engage the lost world. Now, I know that we have been commanded to not be conformed to the world. That is not our aim. That is not the message we have. But we know that God had given us the privilege to be here at this time, at this place, because He wants us to go into the world and bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Why? Because we know that the message of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in His gospel is the only power that will bring sinners into light. That's why we are commanded in Acts chapter 1 that we must be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, but also unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why also in Matthew chapter 28, we're commanded that as we are going, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And the promise is, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is our mission, church. We need to build bridges. We need to connect to the lost world, especially nowadays, that our borders, suburban borders or city borders or country borders are closed. It's all the more, my dearly beloved, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And the promise is, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is our mission, church. We need to build bridges. We need to connect to the lost world, especially nowadays, that our borders, suburban borders or city borders or country borders are closed. It's all the more, my dearly beloved in the Lord, that we must connect to the world and engage them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring the gospel, the powerful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, unashamedly to the lost world, so that the lost world will come to know the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that this message this morning will equip us for our mission to make biblical disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we must be ready anytime to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone that we face. Especially we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. We don't know when, but the Word of God tells us it's soon. So here in our passage this morning, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we will discover three ways on how we, the church, can be ready for our mission, for our goal to bridge the gap, to cross the border, and bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost world. Let's read the passage here before us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the Word of God tells us, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. As a little backgrounder, dearly beloved of the Lord, of this letter that we have here of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica, we notice, of course, that the writers, as said here in this very passage, were Paul. Well, he's the primary writer, he's the only writer, but he had his friends with him, Silas and Timothy. According to history, this specific letter of Paul to the Thessalonian believers was written in AD 51. This is one of the earliest epistles of the Apostle Paul. And the recipient, of course, we know this letter was written for the church in Thessalonica. Now, God gave us the privilege to preserve this. And to, of course, this was preserved because this was inspired by God. So we have it with us. So we can be blessed as well with the same message that Paul gave to the church there in the city of Thessalonica. Now, the city of Thessalonica was a modern city during that time. It has a population of 200,000 people. Today, we call it Salonica, with around 300,000 people in population. And this became the capital city of Macedonia around 168 BC. This city enjoyed the status of a free city, which was ruled by its own citizens under the Roman Empire, because it was located on the main east-west highway via Ignatia. Thessalonica served as the hub of political and commercial activity in Macedonia, and it became known as the mother of all Macedonia. So this church was situated in a very strategic city. And so this church, a little bit of a background here, this church, it was started by Paul, who traveled to that specific city, Thessalonica, during his second missionary journey. We can find that in Acts chapter 16 through 18. The church, of course, Paul called the church there in verse number 1, the elect, the called out ones of God. They are the true church of Christ. They are redeemed souls. They are real saints. Remember, in the word of God, when we say church, it refers to people. People have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, not a building. It's a church, it's a group of people. It was a relatively young church, only 3 years old. And one interesting fact that we can know about this church is that it was a persecuted church. They were going through tough times because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing is for sure, dearly beloved, that the church was in a strategic place, in an opportune time, where they were challenged by the Apostle Paul to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to that specific place. And what I can see today is that CMBC is also in a very strategic place. You are in what we call Greater Sydney, as what what Pastor Wayne had been telling me when I would talk to him. And we have a community there that we need to reach out to. We have a lot of lost people around, and we should not stop in reaching out to the lost. So, here we see, dearly beloved, that Paul wrote to them, telling them, in verse number 1, the equality of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He was teaching them doctrine. I'm sure, with the ministry of Pastor Wayne and the rest of our men here, we have been taught with such wonderful and biblical doctrines. And he greeted them as well. Paul greeted them with common greetings, grace, or favor of God to sinners. And also he greeted them with peace, the result of that grace of God. And he says, he remembers them. Meaning, he exercised memory. That is to recollect, to rehearse. Who were they when he was there? And he deeply encouraged them to continue in what he remembered them to be. Now, three ways on how CMBC can be ready to build bridges and to cross the borders, even though we are on lockdown right now. Threefold combination of the Pauline favorite that we have. We can actually find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, Colossians 1, 4 to 5. But the first of this combination of the Pauline favorite is, he says, if we need to build bridges, he remembers the church in Thessalonica to being models of a life of faith. to the first prerequisite, the first truth, the first challenge that we must understand if we want to build bridges, to build the gap, and to reach the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is this: model a life of faith. If you look back on verse number 3, the church in Thessalonica was a church who has been working and working and working, and they're described to have work of faith. This reveals their saving faith, because saving faith must model a working faith. Take note, dearly beloved, their work is not to attain salvation. Remember in verse number 1, there we are told that they're already saints, they're already saved, they're already redeemed, right? So Paul here is not talking about a faith that they need to work out so that they will be saved. No, they are already saved, they are already redeemed, but the challenge here of the Apostle Paul is that they work out their salvation because they are saved. That their salvation must result to fruits in their lives. So their work is not for salvation, but because of salvation. That's what James 2, chapter 2, verses 17 and 16 tells us. You work out your faith with fear and trembling. That's the point of James. Because you are saved, your lives as Christians, as believers, must portray a working out of your faith. There should be fruits. There must be products in your life. If we want to truly bridge the gap and to cross the border, bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, our lives must showcase what's inside of us. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be manifested. We should model that. Now the word work there in verse number 3, work of faith, is the Greek word ergon, which means deed done or achievement or toil. So the church at Thessalonica was a toiling church. They were not lazy. They did not wait to be tapped, or they didn't wait for a good day to do it. They didn't wait, if I may say, in our context, that the lockdown will be over. No, they kept on working. Remember, they were persecuted, but they did not stop from being models of a life of faith. They worked out their faith. The church in Thessalonica was a working church. And dearly beloved, I'd like to remind you that this begins with the leadership as the example. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, his second letter to the church there in that city, we recognized that the leadership was very involved in their ministry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says here, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." So you see, dearly beloved, the leadership, even the Apostle Paul, set an example for them. He said that he did not behave himself disorderly, but he was an example on what laboring really means. And that is a wonderful example for us to follow. Even as I'm talking to church leaders here this morning, maybe you're a deacon or maybe you are a church minister, I hope that you get the point that we must be examples. And listen, if you look further down the passage there in verses 7, 8, and 9, we notice several things. That this modeling of a life of faith faithfulness. In verse number 7, it says that they are examples. They are examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia. They became models. The word example there means to die or to strike in order to make a scar or mark. It's like a coin maker. Like, you know, you put your coin there and then they put a mark there, or maybe a stamp pad that you make a stamp there, so that when you make a stamp there, the stamp is there. You know, it's a model. That's the Greek word there. And so when people look at this church, they were like, wow, that church is truly a model. If I may ask, if people see CNBC, if they observe the lives of the members, what modeling can they see in us? What kind of a church will they see? Verse number 8 tells us that they sounded out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning to echo, to resound. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we are told, amazingly, that they went to Macedonia, to all Macedonia and to Achaia, and listen to this, every place. No place was left unturned for this church. They went to every nook and cranny of this city. And so, verse number 8 tells us that the Apostle Paul need not to say anything to them. Amazing. It says here, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. There is nothing more that the Apostle Paul can challenge them with. They have been doing it. Amazing. Going at the pastor of this church, I will be like, okay, wow, I'm truly amazing. I'll just sit down here. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, you see the church working and faithfully modeling their lives and proclaiming the gospel. That's every pastor's dream, that the church would be. Then verse number 9. If that is not enough, the church says, the Apostle Paul says about the church, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There was a change really here of their lives. They turned to God from idols. The word turned here means to reverse. This is the word repent. They repented from their idolatry, and then they now follow the true and living God. That's the kind of modeling they had, because they were models of a life of faith. What's inside? What's just for them? Something that they trusted in God, their faith in God, brought fruition in their lives. It was seen. It was evident. They were models. So if we want to bridge the gap today and bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, dearly beloved in the Lord, this is the challenge. We must model a life of faith. We need to work our faith out. Let it out. Let it be seen in our actions, heard through our words, and evidenced in our decision makings. We can't let our faith just cower under the shadow of fear of this pandemic. We need to let it out. The second way on how to bridge the gap today, especially during this pandemic time, we're on a lockdown, but we need to build bridges to the world. And not only that, we must have a modeling of a life of faith, but a manifesting of a life of love. And we find this in the words, labor of love. Verse number 3, we go back there. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Labor here is the Greek word arduos, or the Greek word which means arduos, meaning hard, demanding. This is the kind of labor where you work and you work and you work to the point of exhaustion. That's the word labor here. So dearly beloved, the church labored and labored and labored because they love. That's their motivation. Love. And I look at the word here, love, it's the kind of love that is an agape kind of love. The greatest, the highest, the supreme, the intimate love. The love of the will, the love of choice. This is the kind of love Christ has for the church. Ephesians chapter 5. That's why He gave Himself for the church. This is the kind of love Christ also expects from us, that we manifest toward His church. And this is the kind of love also that we must have for each other and for God, of course. Remember the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. Dearly beloved, I'd like to propose to you that the church in Thessalonica manifested a life of love because they loved God first. They labored so hard because they love God first. And if they love God first, they love the command of God. And so when God commanded them to love each other, they loved each other. And when God commanded them, go out of the world, because I love the world and I want the world to come to know me as their Savior, that's what they did. And the question this morning is, do you have this kind of love first to God? Second, to His church. And third, to the lost. How about loving the imperfect? How about loving those we think are not really lovable? Maybe the people you don't like in the church. Maybe this church that you think have changed so much. Maybe there's something that you don't like about the church. Or there's something that you believe that, you know, the church is doing that is not according to what you want the church to be done. Well, you know, God did not tell us to like the church. He commands us to love the church. And here's the key point. How can you love those outside the church that we are trying to reach out, if we don't even love those who are here with us in the church of Christ? Dearly beloved, I have seen people do crazy things, impossible things, in the name of love. But I hope that we begin to love God first and love the church, so that our labor will be motivated by that love. That's why I believe there's a lot of people in churches don't really care about the church. They just come and go and they just want to get what they want because they don't really love the church. They say they love the church, but if you look at how they relate to the church, how they support the church, how they are involved in the ministry of the church, you don't see love. You don't see laboring of love. But if you love the church, my dearly beloved, you will labor to the point of exhaustion with our pastor, with our men, with our women there who serve the Lord. There is always a ministry for you to do. And one author said this, the most useful asset of a Christian is not a head full of knowledge, but a heart full of love. You know, these past weeks, an opportunity for us to reach our policemen here in our region opened up. The Lord just opened it up I was even amazed by this, that one day I was contacted by the head of the police here in our region to go to their camp and minister there and bring people there so that we can bring the gospel there and just minister to them. 300 or 200 plus of them, almost 300 of them, just waiting there. And we were given the opportunity to do that, but it's almost 2 hours away. So I needed to pray. I needed to pray, who am I going to bring with me? And, you know, I doubted if there's anybody would go. We're in a lockdown right now, right? It's so hard. The pandemic is on, and there's a lot of fear and hysteria everywhere. I was, you know, doubting who will go with me, you know, and I even doubted myself as well. I was scared as well, getting scared of what will happen to me. But the Lord reminded me, if I love Him, if I love His church, if I love the people around me, I should not let this pandemic pull me down and stop me from being the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed for it, and I challenged some people, and praise the Lord, and thank you for your prayers for us, and for all of you who helped out as well, who sent us some support. You're able to borrow vehicles because a lot of people said that they will come. They were challenged. And I brought a big team with me there, and I preached the gospel there for 30-40 minutes a couple of times. And then after each time, we would divide the entire group into smaller groups, wherein we followed through the message of the gospel in that smaller setting. And many professed to trust Christ as their Savior. And we would spend the entire afternoon there. We would travel starting 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock. But you know what? Driving home, the brothers and sisters I have with me, they didn't feel any tiredness. I'm sure they're tired. It was very hot. We were under the heat of the sun. And they served the Lord also in the morning for the morning services. We were basically serving the Lord the entire day. I'm sorry, I'm not bragging, but I'm just telling you, I'm so blessed with my brothers and sisters that they labored with love. I'm really reminded that love is one of the greatest motivation there is. Love for Christ is the greatest motivation for service. And I hope you remind yourself today of your love for Christ. You love Christ. Because if you love Christ, there is nothing too hard. There is no ministry too hard. There is no neighbor too far. There is no friend so hard to reach out. If we love God. The third, how to build bridges today. Again, let's remind ourselves of the first point, model a life of faith. Second, we need to manifest a life of love. But number three, we must maintain a life of hope. If we want to be effective in bridging the gap, to cross the borders, even though we're in a total lockdown right now because of the pandemic, but we're talking about bringing the gospel to people, maintain a life of hope. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. This church, the persecuted church, they're going through tough times, but they maintained a life of hope. This is a wonderful way to end a sermon, dearly beloved. Have hope. The kind of hope that is patient. That word patient means cheerful endurance. You have been in a lockdown for more than a month now. How's your hope? How is your heart? Do you still have a cheerful endurance? Do you still press on? Do you still see a wonderful future ahead? And if you see that, you know you would continue with that kind of hope that should never waver. What is hope? It's an expectation or anticipation of future glory in Christ. That is hope. So patience of a hope is a cheerful endurance. Even though you're going through tough times right now, you're missing the church, you're missing your family, there are a lot of things you cannot do, but you cheerfully endure. Why? Because you anticipate that this is just a short time of suffering. This will never compare to the future wonderful glory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you live a life of hope. You never lose hope. The church never lost their hope in Christ. They never bailed out. They were steadfast. And dearly beloved, that's a challenge for us today. We need to remain steadfast with this patience of hope. Hope will keep you going. So keep on hoping. Keep on hoping. Our enemy will try his best to take away our hope. And this is the best time that the enemy can work as well. Because he knows that we miss each other, we miss the church, and since we are separated from each other, he will sometimes use hopelessness, loneliness, and a sense of doom to come into our minds and hearts. He will inject fear and hysteria and just a sense of hopelessness. Dearly beloved, don't give in to that. Don't give in. We know that we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, hope is very important for us today. There seems to be no ending, right? Cases go up, cases go down, cases go up, cases go down, borders open, borders closed. When will this end, right? And we seem to lose hope already. Don't lose hope. Our enemy will use hopelessness and that will pull you down. You know why? Because if you want to defeat a person or an enemy, you don't take away their courage. You take away their hope. And that's what the enemy is doing. Satan is trying to take away our hope. Don't let him. Don't let him. Continue to maintain a life of hope. So keep your eyes on Jesus and keep on hoping and building bridges, even though the task might be so insurmountable, even though the obstacles are great, even though the stakes are high. Hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never lose that hope. Dearly beloved, if CMBC wants to continue to reach out to the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially during these times of fear, we need to model a life of faith. Faithful kind of life. Faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Also, we need to manifest a life of love. We need to labor to the point of exhaustion, showing our love for God and the church. And we need to maintain a life of hope. Dearly beloved, this morning you might say, Pastor, that's so hard to do. You don't know what our situation here in Sydney is. Pastor, this is just so impossible. With my comorbidity, with my age, with our situation here, with all that's happening. One author said this. You say, is that a human work? No. God puts it there. In fact, are you ready for this? God puts the power to produce the work. God puts the love to labor. And he puts the hope to endure. Dearly beloved, never ever believe that you will do this by your own strength. Never ever get into the trap. Because the Word of God tells us it is God who empowers us. God puts the power to produce the work. God puts the love to labor. And he puts the hope to endure. It's him who works through us. If we just obey him today, we can build bridges. And we can reach the lost with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of this pandemic. Listen, This is the power of God unto salvation. The world needs it more than ever. And I'll be praying for you as you pray for me. And dearly beloved in the Lord, it is my prayer that we will be able to build strong, sturdy, beautiful bridges for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His gospel's sake. Father, thank You for Your word and for the challenge we have through it. Today, Lord, we are tempted to be lazy. We're tempted just to wait for everything to settle down, for this pandemic to be over. But that is not the way to go, Lord. Just like the church in Thessalonica was persecuted, dear Father, Lord, they were going through tough times. They did not stop. They did not wait, Lord, for the time to be better. So I pray that today, Your people will take the challenge to trust You to provide the power, to provide the strength, to provide the grace, so that we can build bridges today and bring the gospel to the lost. And I pray, Lord, that through this, You will send a revival in this country. We thank You for Your word, dear Lord. We thank You for the challenge in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.